your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and our passage this morning begins in verse 9. It says this: "Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." God, as we approach you this morning, having opened your word together, having read your word together, we pray that you would cause this very fear to be said of us. Cause this very fear to be true of us, that we would fear you and walk in the ways that you've commanded us. I pray that you would use the time that we have now as we open your word together, as we think through these carefully arranged truths, that you would convict us of sin, that you would convict us of the truth of your word, of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the judgment that is to come. Lord, add the blessing, we pray, to the reading of your word and to the preaching of it now. In Christ's name, amen. So we've come to the very last passage in Ecclesiastes. This has been a great study for us to go through the book of Ecclesiastes. It's been very encouraging for me. It's been helpful as we look at the ways that the preacher has sought out wisdom and meaning in the world to see that the world is not all that different today than it was then. And the same source of hope that he had is the source of hope that we have in Christ. So as we're coming to this end, thinking through what this has all meant for us and how we can apply this to our lives, I realized, you know, just over a week from now, my family and I will be going to Chile. And we've been really looking forward to this for a very long time. We haven't seen Carolina's family there in several years. Some of our kids have never seen their family there except through social devices and media. And the past few months have gone by so quickly as we've looked forward to that. But at the same time, while God has been good and he's provided all that we need, we've not always walked in perfect trust that God would provide all those things. We have sought him prayerfully. We have depended upon him. But there have been days and there's been moments of worry and anxiety. These are just some of the questions that we have faced on how God would make it possible for us to go on this trip and for us to go there as a family as we care for Tyler and as he comes with us. There were some things that we had to work out that were very unpredictable, but God provided. God did all of this, and we are grateful to him. You know, the way that we face difficult questions in life, the way that we face these questions, the way that Christians, we face questions in life, the way that we look for the answers to those questions, and the ultimate conclusions that we come to are reflective of our faith. What is our deepest held convictions? That is what these things are revealing about us. When faced with difficult questions, as Christians, we can find rest knowing that God is in control of all things. He holds the future. He holds the outcomes. He has ordained our circumstances. For Christians, even when the situation seems bleak, we can rest knowing that it's for our good, that it's for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So there are questions in life which we'll face that we will not have the answers for. But because of our conviction of the truth of God's word, our conclusion is to rest in him. Trust in him. As we come through the book of Ecclesiastes, we've considered the words of the preacher his many paths of pursuing satisfaction, meaning, and pleasure under the sun. We've considered difficult questions and painful truths of life in a fallen world. The question of purpose in life led the preacher to seek answers under the sun, and finding nothing but vanity, he concluded that life without God is meaningless. But that was not the ultimate conclusion that he had made. The ultimate conclusion that he makes is here for us in this passage. The ultimate conclusion he makes is that we are to fear God and keep his commandments, because this is what God has created us for. This is how God has called us to live. This is the whole duty of man. We are to fear God and keep his commands because that is the path of purpose in life. It says, besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. As we read this book, it's a historical book, we have to think about how was this book received? How would this book have been understood in the time that it was written? And it wouldn't have been carried out in a series of sermons. This book would have been read in a sitting, much like a sermon, given by a preacher. So as we are coming to the end of this preacher's sermon, we ask, what is his conclusion? We ask, what is the basis of this charge that he's giving to fear God and keep his commands? What does it mean to fear God and keep his commandments? And why does that matter? The first thing that we see in this passage is that the path of purpose in life is found in fearing God and keeping his commands, because his word is truth. It says, besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. Besides being wise, he didn't see wisdom as something to be grasped and to held on to. He didn't see the purpose of his life in being wise. He saw the purpose in his life in knowing God and helping others to know God, pointing others to God. And so he taught the people knowledge. I know this is very strange in a Baptist church, but I want to give you guys an opportunity to interact real quick. So, yeah, I know. Forgive me, please, in advance. So, I'm curious because it's something I noticed of myself. I want to see how you guys would respond to this blank. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, except that Proverbs 1:7, the first time it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom is what we remember. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom is what we all remember. That's what all sticks in our minds. But the first time that in the Proverbs that phrase is presented, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's interesting. I found that interesting. But this is what the preacher is teaching. There is no true wisdom without knowledge. There's no true wisdom without knowing God. There is a worldly wisdom, but that worldly wisdom is without knowledge. It is without the knowledge of God, and that is the exact knowledge that he is convicted of, that he is calling us to here in this passage. We were created to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And we follow this path that God is leading us on in the knowledge of his word, knowing that his word is truth. And that can't occur without knowing his word. We can't know that his word is truth, and we can't fear God. We can't keep his commandments unless we know his word. The preacher made it a point to be very careful in his weighing and studying and arranging. He was very intentional in his discipleship. That's what he's doing. That's what we see here. He's making disciples. He's teaching people. That is what wisdom looks like. It is not only to know things, but to do them, to walk in them, and to lead others in them. Not all of us are going to be leaders in life in this sense, but we're all leading someone. We all have someone looking. We all have others that see our lives, and our lives are meant to reflect what God has called us to in fearing him and keeping his commands. In the same way, as we apply the knowledge that God has given, we are living out this purpose that God has given us. So the preacher has commended to us in these previous passages of delight in the gifts of God. But there's no way that we can truly delight in the things of God without knowledge for applying the truth, without understanding. It would do no good if the teachers at this school, at Tortuga, had doctorates and PhDs in certain areas of education, but they did not know how to relay that information to the children, right? It would do the church no good if preachers studied and could articulate some really deep doctrine, but couldn't communicate the truth of God's word to the people, or didn't preach to the people, or didn't teach God's word to the people. The preacher didn't value being wise. He valued God's wisdom. He valued the truth of God's word, and that compelled him to be very intentional and very careful in his study and in his proclamation of truth. As we reflect that back on the rest of the book, that tells us that there is no rambling going on in the book of Ecclesiastes. Even though it's hard for us to see the order and the structure that's there, we know that the preacher weighed and studied and arranged things very carefully. And they were all for the purpose of leading us to this conclusion and this charge and this command. He was convicted of the truth of God's word. But it says that he also sought to find words of delight. He also sought to find words of delight. It's like a photographer. Any of us can take pictures. Any of us can apply filters on those pictures. But not many of us can be skilled photographers. Because the skill that a photographer has is the ability to see something and to catch it in just the right light, to catch it at just the right moment. A flower in bloom, the kiss of a bride and groom at the end of a wedding. These little things that photographers are so skilled at doing is not embellishing anything. They're simply pointing to the moments that most highlight the beauty of things in this world. The preacher sought to look for ways to arrange words and put things together to show us that the truth of God is beautiful. We can look back to Psalm 19. It reminds us of that the word, the law of the Lord is sweet. It is to be delighted in. But it also shows us that he had to go to great lengths to see that delight in this fallen world, because we live in a world that's full of sin. We live in a world that's full of tragedy, full of brokenness, full of distorted images. And so we, convicted of God's truth, that his word is truth, ought to be compelled, like this preacher, to be careful as we walk in this world to look for that truth. And that truth is found ultimately in his word. We fear God and keep his commands because his word is truth. We also fear God and keep his commands because he is the source of all truth. It says the words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. That shepherd imagery is given all throughout Scripture. And again, thinking, how would this have been received in their time? How would this have been received when it was first written? Well, using shepherd imagery, the preacher is not just talking about leaders. He is talking about leaders, collected sayings of leaders, God's leaders. But more than that, he's talking about God specifically. He's talking about the shepherd leadership of God. This would have been understood by the people. We can look back to Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We look to the Lord because he is the source of truth, and he, reminding us of Psalm 23, leads us in paths of righteousness. So this life that we're living is one of motion. It's one of constant motion. And we're all walking some path in this life. God has called us to walk the path of fearing God and keeping his commandments. God has called us to walk this path, observing things as we go, as they point us to him, and reminding of the goodness of God and his truth. It says says the words of the wise are like goads and like nails firmly fixed. A goad was a tool used by a shepherd. It was a tool used by a shepherd to poke and to prod the wayward sheep to bring them back to where they were supposed to be. These goads were only painful if they were resisted. In the same way, the words of wisdom are good for us. They help us to see the dividing lines between the path that God has called us to and the path of destruction. And when those are resisted, they are painful. He's admonishing his son, beware of anything beyond the truth of God's word. There will be things that God will show you along the way, along this path, but he's showing you those things so he might give you a glimpse and a hint of what is to come, to either point us to that future home that we have because of Christ or to point us back to that redemption that has been achieved by Christ. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. He's not saying don't look for glimpses of truth in the world. He's not saying don't read secular books. He's not saying don't study secular articles. He's saying make God's word the source of truth for you. Take all of these other things that you see along the way, along this path, hold them in the light of the truth of God's word. Whatever good there is there, it's pointing to him, because all truth is God's truth. As we're thinking of this shepherd imagery and the warning that he's given his son, it kind of reminds me of when you're on an amusement ride at a theme park, and they tell you, make sure to keep your hands inside, right? Because the things around you are meant to be observed. They're a part of the experience, but they are not to be experienced outside of those, you know, boundaries. Someone ventured outside those boundaries one time at Disney World. You guys remember that? Space Mountain? They stuck their head out too far. There were tragic consequences for that. The preacher's showing us here that there are tragic consequences for departing from the path that God has laid out for us in his word. There are eternal consequences. When we think later on, when he mentions the judgment that's coming, it's not just what we do. He says every secret thing. This ought to cause us to walk in fear before the Lord, to keep his commands. And if we are careful to do them, they will be righteousness for us. That doesn't mean that the righteousness is in us. It means that this is the path of righteousness that God has given. It's ordained and dictated by his word. This is our source of truth. This is why we are to fear God and keep his commands, because his word is truth and because he is the source of truth. At the same time, the preacher's warning against other things outside that would pull us away, much like Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, when he said, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." There's still this imagery and this idea that there is a path to be followed. And that path is found in the truth of God's word. That path is revealed in the light of his word. We follow a good shepherd, the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. We're also, as we're looking to him, we're to be careful to follow that path that he's given us. Not because we can lose our salvation, but because this is the path that the saved walk. This is the path of the righteous. This is the path of life that God has given in his word. And Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey my commands." Obedience is not the root of our salvation. It is the fruit of our salvation. Whoever heeds instruction, Proverbs 10:17, is on the path to life. But he who rejects reproof leads others astray. We're to fear God and keep his commandments. Because his word is truth, because he is the source of truth, because this is the path of purpose. This is the path of meaning. This is the whole duty of man. This is what God has called us to. This is the road that he has paved for us. So the preacher comes to this charge at the end of Ecclesiastes. The end of the matter, he says. It's interesting, that word matter can be translated word. And many times in the Old Testament when it says, hear the word of the Lord, word is the same as what we read matter. The preacher's bringing a message. He's concluding his message, saying this is the end of this message. As a preacher, we can conclude this is the end of his sermon. This is the end of his proclamation of truth as inspired by the one shepherd. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So what exactly is he calling us to? What commandments is he referring to? Because if we're to understand Ecclesiastes rightly, it must be read in light of God's wisdom revealed in Christ without separating it from how it would have been understood then. Because while understanding of the truth might change, the truth itself is unchanging. This message is no different today than it was then, except that we have a greater understanding because of Christ, because Christ has revealed to us the hidden wisdom of God in these things. If this applies today, and it does, then we have to ask, in what way? What commandments is he calling us to? Well, Jesus mentioned the greatest command, right? He mentioned the same commandments that we read from Deuteronomy 6 earlier. To love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your might, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Fearing God and keeping his commands is not a life of fearful obedience apart from faith. It is the obedience of the faith that's spoken of even in the New Testament. It is the fruit of living faith that's rooted in the truth of God's word. This is what it looks like to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. It is to fear him and obey his commands. He's showing us in this the simplicity of our purpose in life. We complicate things. We try to make all of these boundaries for ourselves outside of what God has given. That's what the Pharisees did, right? They set all these other rules because they wanted to be perfect and do things perfectly. And while it's great to want to be perfect, we're commanded in the scriptures, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We don't get to set the boundaries. We don't get to make the rules. God makes the rules. God sets the boundaries. God has paved the path. This is what it looks like to love the Lord with all your heart, to fear God and obey his commandments. But fearing God is also what it means to be truly human, because this is what God created us to do, to fear God and obey his commands. There was no doubt a fear of God in the garden. There was no doubt an obedience at some point prior to sin. They were living as he had created them, truly human. But when they strayed from the path, when they disobeyed God's word, when they kicked against the goads of God's word, it had consequences not only on their lives, but on all of us. All we like sheep have gone astray, every one of us, each to his own way. We've forsaken the Lord. And that ought to cause us to fear. There is sin in this world because of disobedience to God. We are all born sinners, but Christ is the path of salvation. God has shown us in the word, in his truth, he is the source of truth, and that he is the giver of truth, and that he has given us the truth in Christ. To depart from God's desire for us is to reject his design. It's to reject the image of God in us and the will of God for us. To reject his commands is to take the path of destruction, to depart from the path that leads to life. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. The preacher sees a day when God will make all things right, a day of redemption, a day of recompense. But just as his knowledge of the Savior would have been in shadows and figures, His idea of how God would make things right was also limited. The application remains the exact same because God's truth is unchanging. This preacher could look to the future with hope, fearing God and keeping his commands while leading others in the truth. The questions that he faced in life for purpose led him to seek answers under the sun, but his ultimate conclusion is that our purpose in life is found in God alone. It's found in Christ alone. And we live out that purpose by fearing God and keeping his commands. And so we have the charge from this preacher: fear God and keep his commands, because that is the path of purpose in life. He's calling us to fear God and keep his commands, taking his word as truth, looking to him as the source of truth, and walking along the path that he has given, because this is what we were created to do. Entrance into this path that he's calling us to is found in faith in the promises of God. Faith in the promise of a Savior. In Ecclesiastes, in that time, the preacher was looking forward to that Savior that would come, not knowing what that would be, not knowing his name. We have his name. His name is Jesus Christ. Without saving faith in him, there is no fear of God. Without saving faith in him, there is no purpose or meaning. Without saving faith in him, there is no keeping the commandments. There's no doing the work that God has called us to. There is no living the life that God has created us for. There is no hope in life. So fear God and keep his commands, because this is the path of purpose in life. This is the whole duty of man. This is what we've been created to do. This is what it means to be truly human.